Are we recording? Best song in the NHL. Is the best song in the NHL. Just let it breathe for a minute, buddy.
But what is that?
It's like there's some guy wrote this song for the Canadians back in like the 80s, and they start playing it.
This bullshit.
You know,
Turn that down.
What do you want to hear? Me?
Oh, my head. Sunday morning. Welcome.
How awesome is that? That's such a great song.
Oh, what was it? Ale Bumbaya?
Ale Moria.
Shut up.
Ale Moria.
How was your
life? Well, you obviously didn't hear it enough last night, didn't you? There was four piped on the Leafs on a 4-0 loss to the Canadians on a Saturday night in MTL.
Well, how's your life after a Leaf loss to the Habs?
I didn't even watch a game last night, to be honest with you. I didn't even watch it.
Really?
I watched the first period. Just to like tune in, like Saturday night, obviously, Hockey Night in Canada, Maple Leafs. But no, I stopped watching after the second goal. By the way, this is Leafs Talk Radio here on HockeyThisWeek.com.
Thank you very much.
Because you don't want to do it, so I have to do it. So check out HockeyThisWeek.com for great shows such as ourselves and a lot of other great, other webcasts that we do. A lot of great info on the website. Check it out, HockeyThisWeek.com. We got a great show coming up today. We're bringing in Scott Wheeler, one of Mateo's good friends, who knows the NHL draft inside out, knows the Maple Leafs inside out. We're going to bring him on, get his perspective on, you know, what moves the Leafs should be making here moving forward to the draft. Obviously, tomorrow, trade deadline. I'm going to give him a buzz right now. And
I'll give you a little background in the meantime while you do that. I met Scott and Dante when I first opened We Want a Cup a bunch of years ago, and they were just starting off in their perspective careers. And the thing is ringing on air.
I know it is. Well, you want to bring in Scott right now?
Yeah,
he just picked up. Let's bring him in. Scotty, what's going on, buddy?
Not much, guys. How are you guys?
How you doing, Scott? So,
just wait. Are you hungover this morning? Because I know it was your birthday last night.
No, I just went out with some buddies and hung out. We had a hockey intramural hockey game, so that's what I was doing.
Don't lie to us. Are you hungover?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I just want to make sure.
I was just giving everybody a brief background on our relationship and who you are and that sort of thing. So we met. He started with you could call him a co-founder of We Want a Cup. We grew it up together, and he's been making strides in his life all over the place. And he just got. I'll let him announce it in a second. But he's been a big part of We Want a Cup, and in doing so, he's really positioned himself as an expert with prospects, and that's his bag, right? So. We're happy to have him here today. We'll keep having him on because we want to put a positive spin on this show, right?
So we really have to. You know, we don't have much positivity to talk
so
about.
We won't talk
if
about
there's
the guy.
A positive spin. It's the draft.
So. Yes, right? That's pretty much it. Yeah.
So we'll get Scott on to give us a positive about people that we don't have, right? In hopes that we get some of them, right? And that's
well. Intro your boy. Tell him to get on here.
All right, and from We Want a Cup, and now I'll let him introduce from where else, Scott C. Wheeler.
Standing over
the round of applause.
Yeah. All right. So you have some news for us. What happened this week?
Yeah. Yesterday, I guess 2 days ago now, I joined Pension Plan Puppets as their new site manager. So I'll be operating the site over there and managing the staff and assignments and working with them to grow that site.
Well, good for you, buddy. We're obviously proud of you for making the strides in your young career this far and getting out there. You could be stuck in this little locked basement with Mateo and I doing this, but you're not. So think of it as a win-win.
And those guys are good guys over there, so please say hi from us that We Want a Cup, and good luck from you.
Will do.
Right on.
Now, did you watch the game last night, the 4-0 thromp by the Canadians?
I didn't.
No?
Was it a drubbing?
Now, have you given up yourself? I mean, is it just kind of, you know, the Leafs are on, and if you're free, you're going to watch, or do you kind of just say, whatever, we're done now, it's not worth watching anymore?
Well, because I'm writing about it, I'm still watching every game, but I grew up a Leafs fan, but I've tried to distance myself almost. I think it's important when I'm writing about them to be disengaged almost. This team can take you through the ringer. So I've tried to distance myself from the fandom and from letting the Leafs or the highs and the lows get involved. try to just look at it as objectively as I can now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we call that we don't give a shit anymore.
Oh, that's the translation.
Yeah.
So let's get into the week that was with, obviously, I guess maybe the biggest move that the Maple Leafs have made in the last 2 years, signing David Clarkson to just a great contract in the summer. And then all of a sudden, the plan with him in the fold for the future just didn't clearly work out in the eyes of management and Brendan Shanahan and Dave Notis. And now he's on his way to Columbus. And I believe he's already played two games, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe he just played the one last night.
But yeah, Scott, I think he made his debut last night.
Your take on the trade, I mean, is it just kind of, you know, whatever, we made a mistake and that's it, and we're just going to kind of live with it, and we're going to pay another guy, Nathan Horton, $26 million to do nothing, and because we're MLSE, we can do that? Or is it, do you think there's something more into this trade of them saying that, you know what, David Clarkson obviously can hack it, and we needed to get rid of him right now, and we need to atone for our mistakes?
I mean, the trade is a shrewd move, I think. I mean, you have to give Dave Nonis and the team credit, despite the original signing. But the original signing was an absolute tire fire. There was people who, I mean, anyone could see that he wasn't going to be a consistent 30-goal guy, and that's how they were paying him.
Yeah.
I guess it pays, for once, it pays to be wealthy, because the Leafs are a team that can afford to do that, and that's an advantage they have over other teams that might not have been able to move a bad contract like a Mike Richards in Los Angeles. So I think it's an important move to make, especially if they're rebuilding. That money is going to be huge down the line, and that money is better spent elsewhere, frankly.
I love how you bring it up right at the top. It's a good move for the Maple Leafs, and it's a good move for Dave Nonis. I mean, does he look like the hero or the goat in this situation? I mean, he's the one that brings in the Toronto boy, Dave Clarkson, to leave, signs him for an obscene contract, and thinking that this guy is going to be the heart and soul of this team. He wants to be here. He wants to wear number 71 in honor of Wendell Clark, and it doesn't work out in his favor. And now all of a sudden everyone's praising Dave Nonis for getting rid of him. And I just don't understand how this works. I mean, do you praise him for getting rid of him? Is he the GOAT for signing him, or what's your take on that?
I think he's a GOAT for signing him regardless, yeah, to be honest. You can talk about the move and the ability to make the move and it being a shrewd move at the time. But at the end of the day, he signed that deal and he's costing MLSE one way or another $36 million down the line. So I think it's pretty astonishing that MLSE is okay with allowing their general manager, who just openly wasted $36 million of their money in a year and a half, to continue and have him operate as the GM. But it seems like he's found a niche in that front office with Dubas and Shanahan, and it seems like they've almost leaned on him because they're new guys. So
yeah,
maybe they need that voice and someone who's been around the game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting that they did find that loophole, and it's great that we can utilize it, but I don't think it's any different than other teams are doing. Like, I think Philadelphia has the same scenario, right? With Pronger on the books and not playing.
Yeah, there's a couple teams that have it. I know the Boston Bruins are still paying Mark Savard to play golf in the summertime.
Yeah, obviously.
And Chris Pronger is still obviously on the books in Philadelphia, but they're on long-term injury reserve, right? So it's not counted against the cap, but there are other ways around it from what I've been told. It's just a whole bunch of mumbo-jumbo in the CBA that, you know, and this is why you pay a guy like Brendan Pridham to find these loopholes in the cap, or not in the cap, in the cap and in the CBA, to be able to work these deals out. Because honestly, it's amazing how Columbus did not insure that contract. And for a guy of Nathan Horton's stature, of him being injury prone, I don't understand how that happens.
Because the insurance company wouldn't do it.
Oh,
period.
I mean, it's just
like, if you're a company, would you insure that guy to not? That's like saying loopholes.
I'd be pushing very hard to try to insure it. That's for sure.
Know, but that's like loophole. Could you insure a guy like loophole? Right. Yeah. As soon as he hits it, you know, he's going to get hurt. So that's a great. But which trade per se was better last week? Was it the dumping of Clarkson, or was what he got for Winnick? What did he get?
I think he
got a second and a fourth, right? I think for Winnick, right?
And you got Zach Sill.
Yeah. And Zach Sill. So that's a great return for $1 million guy, or $1.5 million guy, right? So I would think that was a better trade of the one is a loophole. Okay, we got out of the Clarkson thing, but I think if you were looking at him as a GM moves, that was a great little move there with Winnick.
I think the Winnick and the Santarelli-Franzen trades were both pretty strong moves. I think the value they got back in the end was pretty respectable. Zach Sill's a toss-up and pretty irrelevant to the equation. It's really the picks that you're looking at, but I still think at the end of the day that Clarkson move is the bigger move for the rebuild long term. That $5 million goes a lot further than a second or a fourth round pick, which could be 4 or 5 years away.
Monday, tomorrow is the trade deadline, Scotty. Do you anticipate it being very busy tomorrow? I mean, not just for the Leaf standpoint, but for a league standpoint as well. We've seen a ton of trades come in this weekend. You know, Yager going to Florida, former Leaf Tim Gleason going to Washington. He might play tonight against the Leafs. And now all of a sudden there's a lot of rumblings coming out of Chicago with Patrick Sharp, and they get Antoine Vermette last night. Do you think it's going to be busy?
I honestly don't anticipate it being busy at all. I saw a graphic on TSN this morning. They had Jay McClement listed as their seventh most likely player to be dealt, and he just signed a new deal, two-year deal. So trading a guy who's recently signed a two-year deal, if that's the most likely trade to happen, or one of the most likely trades to happen, then it sounds like it's going to be a pretty dull day.
Okay, hypothetically speaking for the Leafs, there's a ton of rumblings out there on Tyler Bozak, whether or not he's going to find a new place to play tomorrow, Joffrey Leupold, Phil Kessel, Dion Phaneuf. The likelihood of one of these four big players on the Leafs getting traded tomorrow, your thoughts?
I highly doubt it. A deal in season to move one of those guys, you're going to need to be taking money back. And that's, teams are too crunched under the cap at this time of the year. And I don't think that's something the Leafs are willing to do. I think it's more advantageous for them to move those guys in the summer and avoid having to take more dollars back, because teams have more money to play around with in the summer.
I'm on the other side of the fence with you, buddy. I think tomorrow, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be busy for the NHL, but I got a feeling that Dave Notis might just pull something out of his hat tomorrow and just kind of, I don't think it's going to be one of the big two guys in Phaneuf and Kessel, but I could see Tyler Bozak or Joffrey Leupold trying to find another place to play tomorrow. And there's talk even about Jonathan Bernier being dealt. You know what I mean? The for sale sign is up on this team, and it's just first come, first serve, boys. Whatever you want to take, go ahead. But the price is obviously has to be right, and I think they're trying to acquire draft picks, especially for this draft. And that's why we really wanted to bring you in, Scott, is because you really know the minor hockey ranks and the junior and the NCAA along those lines. For where the Leafs are right now, where do you see them slotting? Do you think there's any chance we could maybe have the balls bounce in our favor and get number one and bring in the new market boy, Connor McDavid, or... is it kind of looking at a Zach Strome, or is it Zach Strome or Dylan Strome?
Dylan Strome.
That's what it is. I mean, where do you see the Leafs picking, and what is a likelihood scenario for the Leafs come in June?
The way the lottery is shaped up, they've changed the odds significantly. So even the last place team, say the Buffalo Sabres or the Edmonton Oilers, are only going to have a 1 in 5, 20% chance at that first overall pick. So ideally, the Leafs would like to get to 3 or 4. They're currently at 4 right now, and that gives them just shy of 10% chance.
Yeah.
So ideally, they just hope the balls roll in their favor. If not, there's several guys that are going to be on the board at the 4th, 5th, 6th pick, which is looking like where they'll be picking, anywhere between 4 and 6, maybe 7. There's some good players. There's two top-end centers, which is what every Leafs fan has been dying for since the days of Matt Sundin.
Yep.
And there's a handful of excellent defensemen that could really stabilize the back end long term.
You think they go the center route, though? I think that's more of a likelihood. The likelihood of them drafting a center, for me, I think would be at the top of their books instead of trying to shore up the defense.
I think with Hunter now managing the ranks and the two centers being from the OHL,
yeah,
and his familiarity with Marner, who played in London for him,
yeah,
I think I would be astonished if they didn't go with Marner or Strome if they were picking 4 or 5. And I think those are the right picks.
How about, let's go back to last year's pick, the GOAT there. How's he working out for us?
He wasn't last year's pick.
Yeah, he was the first
round. Not last year, you dummy.
Okay, well, yeah, he was.
Scott, you want to clarify it?
Nylander, sorry. How's Gauthier doing?
He's in the queue.
Gauthier's actually got a concussion right now. He's been out the last, I think, 3 games with Rimouski. Prior to that, he'd been playing well. He's a top six guy for them. Takes all the defensive zone draws, penalty kills. His offensive production hasn't curved as people would have liked it to. He's producing at about the same clip now, 2 years after his draft year, as he was in his draft year. So I think people were expecting a lot more of him offensively and him to sort of progress into a dominant overpowering forward in the queue, and he hasn't really done that. He's decent offensively, but nothing special, that's for sure.
The best thing about Freddie the Goat is if you look at his stats, like his face-off percentage is disgusting. Like he is out there for every draw that they can get him on for.
Right.
Because he's one of the best centermen in the queue. But Scott, I mean, this is the thing. This is the thing about the Leafs, though. I mean, they draft a guy in Gauthier in the first round whose top potential is what, a third line center for this team?
Yeah, the hope was a second, but is it just like why?
What's the point? I mean, you can go and sign those guys off free agency and not draft them. I mean, what's the point?
And that's a valid issue that plenty of people have picked at the Leafs for is those late first round picks. They've tried to target the dependable pick, whereas with the top end picks, they've taken the risk on a guy like Kadri or Riley or Nylander. And there's been some misses. Tyler Biggs was a miss. Some people think Gauthier was a miss. At the time, though, Gauthier was coming off of a rookie year in the queue. He hadn't had 2 years in the queue because he stayed back to play midget. And his rookie year, frankly, was good offensively, and he was that big, tall center that everyone was hoping he could be. So at the time, I wasn't all that concerned with the pick. Nobody was expecting that a guy like Burakovsky, who went five picks later, would be playing with Ovechkin and Backstrom. So there wasn't that many certain picks, especially after Anthony Mantha was off the board to Detroit. So the draft dropped off where the Leafs were, and they went with Gauthier, and they'll have to live with that if it doesn't work out.
Let's get to last year's pick, William Nylander. He's had a good little start to his Marlies career this year. I think he's got three or four goals, and I think it's like 14 points thus far. Scott, do you see him potentially playing in the lineup next year, or is it a case of management kind of telling him that, you know what, go back to the minors and this is your team and you're going to be the leader on it and we're going to try to get you as much ice time as we humanly can down here for you to be become a pro and hopefully work on your craft a little bit more?
I think they have to at the very least give him that 9 games at the start of the year to see where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the rebuild happening and with the youth they're going to have coming in, I think it's important that he gets put early on into a role where he can succeed, whether that's second center left wing, second center. And I think it's really important that he gets that opportunity. I'm a huge proponent of Nylander. I said throughout the draft last year that if Nylander falls to the Leafs pick, mm-hmm. he has to be the guy. And I think they're incredibly lucky to have gotten him at 8. I think he's ready. Frankly, I've watched him extensively this year in the Swedish Hockey League, almost all of his games online, and he was just absolutely outstanding. He was their go-to guy in all situations other than the PK. He's never going to be a penalty killer, though. No. And he was dynamic. He was creating plays constantly. And with the Marlies, they've sort of eased him into the lineup, and frankly, the Marlies don't score very much. So his production for an 18-year-old in the AHL is pretty impressive still.
Okay, we got two last questions for you. Number one, is it Connor McDavid? Is it consensus number one, or do you somehow think that Jack Eichel could maybe slot him out and go first overall?
It's Connor McDavid, no question about it. End of story.
That's it?
He is going to be special. He's going to lead the league in points someday.
Okay, how about this? You know, we're looking most likely at a Mitch Marner situation. Tell us a little bit about him.
Mitch Marner is an undersized guy, which has a lot of people concerned. He only weighs about 160 pounds, but he is quick and he's elusive and he doesn't take a lot of hits despite his size. And he's got incredible foot speed and a really good release. So he's pretty much the full package minus the size. Yeah. But you're seeing more and more young guys come into the league who are undersized and only clock in at 170, 175 pounds. So if you can put on that weight, I don't think it's going to be an issue. He's 5'10", so it's not like they're drafting Theo Fleury.
Scotty, this is the last question, and we'll let you go and enjoy your Sunday. Last week, after the Beanpot tournament, there was the video of Eichel chugging a beer and saying, "Buffalo, I'm ready for you." Did people make too much of this? I mean, let's not forget that he's an 18-year-old kid at college. I mean, I've done some pretty bad stuff in my life, and I understand he's in a different spot than I am with, you know, there's a potential huge contract coming his way and being the either first or second overall pick. But, I mean, did the media make too much about this and giving him a bad rep for you know, slamming down a cold Coors Leger after a big tournament that they won?
As far as I'm concerned, I think it was blown way out of proportion.
Yeah.
He's an 18-year-old kid. He just won the biggest game of his life and assisted on the overtime winner. And he went out to celebrate with his teammates who are significantly older than him. It seems like a non-issue for me. It shows he's human as far as I'm concerned. I really don't think it's a big issue. If Connor McDavid goes and wins the Memorial Cup and doesn't go out to celebrate after, I'd be surprised.
Do you think if it's Connor McDavid, we're making a bigger deal of it? Like if there's a Snapchat video of him?
I think we would because he's the Toronto boy and he's the number one pick. But I still wouldn't see it as an issue. I would see it as a kid being human and celebrating his accomplishments.
It makes me sick, man, how people just slam this poor kid. Like, well, come on, man. Yeah, like, you're at college. Like,
that's because everybody has a cell phone now. And everybody, I know. And everybody's
just
got...
Just leave the poor guy alone.
And everybody does the Twitter, right? And you know what I mean? So now your claim to fame is taking a picture of a guy.
I'll tell you, buddy, if that was me and I just won that tournament, I'd be doing a lot more than chugging out a Bud Light,
Even in the past, what do you think these guys were doing? Like, 20 years ago, you think they were just... Oh, well, let me get back to hit the books, right?
One cup of coffee, boys, and we're out of here. Scotty, we appreciate you taking the time to come and join us, man. Enjoy your Sunday, and we'll obviously catch up with you down the road and closer to the draft, and we'll get your rankings and where the Leafs are sitting and who you think they're going to take. So.
All right, let me get on, Scott, for a sec. Scott, just prove how smart you are. Who are we getting? What's your prediction?
I think the Leafs, if they're picking fourth or fifth overall, will draft Mitch Marner.
Scott, do we have a chance at number one?
Please.
A very slim chance, about an 8% chance.
Okay, you want to get on the show again? You rephrase that and you say,
we're going to get McDavid. Yeah, for 80, sure. It's a non-issue. Come on, man. We're trying to instill hope here in people, not try to crush their dreams and say we're going to finish 7th or 8th again.
He said he wants to play for the Leafs, so maybe they can swindle something.
Right. I'm going to go to Newmark and get him on the Eric Lindros program and start feeding words to him about some. But, Scotty, we appreciate you coming to take the time for us, man, and enjoy your Sunday, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
See you, buddy.
Man.
Later.
That's a good guy, Scott.
Very well spoken. Really? I feel like I butchered that interview so bad. I felt like I was so off my game.
It's okay. At least you got the draft picks right year-wise.
I was so off my game in that. I felt like just like, oh.
But he's good. He's really good.
He knows his stuff, and that's why it's great to have him on. And we love having, you know.
And just as part of We Want a Cup, I swear, like you could call him and Dante co-founders of the thing. And they
we're going to get Dante on here.
Oh, by the way, they helped with, especially Scott helped with the redesign. So go by wewantacup.com and check out. There's a new website there now.
Should we address the glaring issue of the guy upstairs wearing the Canadiens jersey?
Let's address a Leaf fan's life after the Habs win. Now, I take it a little bit over.
What,
there.
After last night? Yeah. It's a non-issue, man. The season's done. Like, I don't understand why people are so upset.
It's not that I'm upset.
Why? This is what you want, though. You want these losses.
But I can't. And I'm trying.
It's huge, bro. Last night, we lose.
I'm really
Carolina
trying.
Wins. Like, this is the best scenario that's possible. And this is why I'm really hoping that come tomorrow,
I can
Monday, March the 2nd for the deadline, that we just start unloading guys and we really start falling. I mean, can you imagine though, like if there was somehow we could work something out where you're able to trade one of these two guys and get some prospects and picks for this year's draft, man, like you're laughing.
Okay. I will put my head down on the bar. And I'll sit there while they lose to the Flyers, and I'll sit there while they lose to the Rangers, and I'll sit there while they lose to everyone. But I can't with the Habs. I can't, Sean. I can't. And I can't.
Allez, Montreal.
And now, you know, allez, Montreal. At least a couple of years ago, we could punch them out. Like, now we're even getting... Like, it's just... I can't. And then my phone after the game.
From all your crude buddies.
All of a sudden, here we go.
Who cares,
Texas,
man? This is why you start laughing.
And okay, let's discuss one thing that is could get Leaf fans a little bit of pleasure or smile on their face. Let's make fun of Hab fans who live and grew up in Toronto. What the hell is wrong?
Well, they're losers.
Like, how do you even
those
do
the
that?
Kids that? Those are the kids that got picked on at school. Just, right? You know? Used to make origami swans in the hallways.
When I was a kid, it was the It was the guys, the cherry pickers. You know, the guys who hung out and never, you know, they wanted to score a goal in street hockey and they hung out at the other guy's net.
Never saw their own end.
Because
you can't score from your own end, though, buddy. I live by that philosophy. You watch me play hockey. I'll never cross center once.
But the Montreal Canadiens were winning 5 Stanley Cups back then. It was Yvon Cornoyer and Guy Lafleur and stuff like that. So all the cherry picker guys were the Montreal Canadian fans because it was easy to like a winner back then, right?
I would love to do a show where we could get, like, me and you,
yeah,
and two like diehard Canadians fans, and we do like a who's better.
Okay,
like what franchise is better?
We got the
Is it Montreal? What about the
Montreal show on our network that we were tweeting out?
I'd love to get them on.
They were. I think they were giving us the let's go. They're tweeting our show and the Montreal show together.
I would love to get them on.
Oh,
they can't tweet our show and their show together. No, that's not in our clause, buddy.
Dude, they said it's on. They put both our logos together, the Montreal one and the Leaf one. And they
let's
go like
drive.
This.
We're going to go halfway from here. Where is it? Halfway to Kitchener? Is Kitchener halfway?
We'll go to Belleville. I got a trailer.
Okay, let's
there.
Go to Belleville. Let's go.
All right, we'll go to the sandbags. I got a trailer there. We could fish a little bit, throw them in the water, the whole bit. Habs, I hate you.
What? Don't be this guy, though. Don't be this guy.
Let's talk about other stuff.
Because it's so stupid.
I can't, man.
You know how many people last night text me and tweet me saying, like, oh, yeah, like, big game tonight for the Leafs? I'm like, big game? The hell are you talking about?
It's still hockey night in Canada.
Who cares, man? This is the best thing. That's the best thing going.
I can't.
Don't watch. There's no point.
I own a bar, man. What am I going to watch?
Young and the Restless, soccer. Put on the Flyers Rangers. That was a better game. Like, that's what I found myself watching last night.
It was a good game, yeah.
After, when it's too Cobb for the Canadians, you know, after one, I'm like, okay, great. Like, there's no way they're coming back from this. Like, this is awesome. Like, I can't do anything. There's no fight. There's no drive, man.
No, there's no fight. There's no nothing. Oh my God.
I don't know if you saw it last night, but I was howling, laughing, watching it was the Edmonton Blues game. And there was a play where it was an offside play and Tarasenko was in the Edmonton zone. And the puck gets passed down to him in the corner. He comes out and shoots it on Ben Scrivens once the whistle had blown. And not one player comes in to protect Ben Scrivens. And Tarasenko just looks around waiting for someone to come and attack him. No one does anything. That's where I feel like the Leafs are at right now, was where there's nothing to do. No one cares. No one wants to protect anyone. It's just, okay, whatever, boys. Let's go out there and try to win. And if we don't, we don't. And who cares?
They ran Bernier last night.
Oh.
And he's in the press going like, yeah, they ran me. That was a word. Blah, 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 bad play. They ran our goalie. They ran our goalie. Just sit back. Just sit, take it easy. No problem.
No,
you run. You run our goalie. Well, you got to get something ready. You run our goalie. You should be up against the boards. That's what I like. I know everybody's going to get on me about it, but bring up one of the goons, would you? At least we could have a fight. At least we could punch somebody out.
Don't do that. Because we're not getting back into that philosophy anymore. This team is changing for the better. It's changing for the better.
But how is that better?
Because, man, we're not... Listen, you want to know who the tough guy is on the team now? It's Zach Sill. And he's a poor man's Colton Orr. And that's it. They're not bringing these guys like Colton Orr and Frazier McLaren up anymore. I'm telling you, Dodo Bird, buddy. It's done.
But they're okay, fine.
So why are you going to bring these?
They're not going to go out and score 50 goals and win us any games. So at least punch a crap out of somebody.
No, come on. You are so wrong. It's amazing.
Protect Kessel. Protect the goalie. Protect Dion. Have somebody to protect our stars before one of them gets cracked in the head, and you don't even have. Then we're going to be selling like an. Reduce for quick sale type of situation with our hurt player. Like, protect these guys. How do you let someone run the goalie and everybody just sits back and watches and it's no problem?
Did you want to know why? Because that's the old philosophy where you have to stick up your teammates and you have to stick up for the crest on the front of the sweater.
Okay.
I don't think that the Leafs know that. And I don't think the players on the Leafs know that, and I don't think they care about it.
I think
management is trying to change, and they're trying to change the philosophy of the team. They're trying to change the heart in the room. They're trying to change the character which the Maple Leafs are about.
And another thing, I see Dion and Kessel smiling and laughing on the ice on the pre-skates one more time in my life. That's it. I will really not watch ever again. This is you're the leaders. This is your core. We're ripping it apart. Stop smiling. You know what I mean? Like, it's the Habs. Oh.
Well, I mean, what do you want to do? Maybe we should get you out there on the ice.
Win.
No, don't win. Just lose.
1 year.
I can't wait for tomorrow, trade deadline.
Yeah.
Cool. Hit us up on Twitter what you think of the Leafs make any moves. If they don't make any moves, we're obviously going to talk about it next week, next Sunday.
Let's have Daisy on from the HF Boards.
We'll get something going then.
All right, I got it. I got it. She'll come on.
All right, guys, this is Leafs Talk Radio on HockeyThisWeek.com. Check out HockeyThisWeek.com for our show and other great shows. Get us on Twitter at Sean, or what is my Twitter? It's Bonesy24, I believe, is my Twitter handle.
And yep.
What are you?
At WeWantACup.com.
There you go. Check us out on there. New shows coming up every Monday. We'll catch you guys next week. She said, you count the